Greetings in the precious name of Jesus this morning. It feels a little bit empty in here compared to what I think it should be somehow. Normally, what we think is in the past was normal. But we will take whatever God gives us and appreciate it. So would you turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6 and while you're turning there, I would, first of all, the comment I made before the service or in an earlier part of the service here, that if we don't have someone else as our guide, then it will result in confusion. And as soon as I said it, I thought to myself, that was not a very good comment. I should have said the Holy Spirit, because there can be a lot of voices out there that are not the Holy Spirit, and they will also lead to confusion. But we want the Holy Spirit of God to be our guide, to be our motivator, to be our direction. So my motivation for this sermon from Galatians chapter 6, I'll give you a little bit of background. About 2 weeks ago, or sometime in the last few weeks, we had one of the ladies out in at the camp was in Waterford, and it so happened that she had her handbag in the car, and in the handbag there was a volunteer stipend for one of the girls. The other girls, all the rest of the stipends had been dispersed already. But this happened to be 120 euros that was supposed to go to one of the volunteers. And there was something happening in the near vicinity, and the girls thought, well, they're going to wait just a little bit to do their shopping and go make a little bit of a circle, and I might not have the details exactly right, but they left the car. The car actually couldn't be locked for some reason. And they made a little circle and came back. When they came back, if I have the details right, the handbag was missing, including that 120 euros. And the person who lost this 120 euros to the thief came into the shop one day, and she was wanting to take her own card and make up for that by getting some using the shop as an ATM and getting the 120, she was going to pay that out of her own pocket. I said to her, I don't think that is the way we should operate as a camp and as a church. And my mind went to this phrase, bear ye one another's burdens. And so that was the impetus, that was the motivation for this sermon. What does it mean to bear one another's burdens? And by the way, I had this same thought last Sunday out at the camp. I didn't actually have a sermon, but what we did, we just said, we shared around the circle what it meant to each person to bear one another's burdens. And it was interesting to get everybody's perspective. What does it mean? Instead of a sermon, we actually had a discussion. It wasn't a Sunday school, but it was just an open discussion of what it means to bear one another's burdens. Each person, each household had the opportunity to speak and give their idea of what that might mean. And then at the end, I shared this story and I said, we actually have the opportunity to bear each other's burdens in this case. And I said, as far as I'm concerned, I will just take care of that stipend myself, but if somebody wants to help, then they can help. Well, I have to tell them, stop, because to this day we have 125 euros and I didn't even get to help. So they said the last person named themselves as Lori, and I'm sure that wasn't right because Lori's not here anymore, but the envelope said Lori, and there was a 20 euro note in the envelope and said, if there's any extra, just give it to the church at Dunmore East, to the the offering box. So that's kind of the background story here. Let's read in Colossians chapter 6. Pardon? I did say Galatians. It is Galatians chapter 6. Thanks, Jimmy. Starts with verse 1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Verse 2. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load, and another translation says, each one shall bear his own burden. Let him who is taught in the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. I meant to stop at verse 5. That's as far as we're going to read. And when we think of a phrase to apply to life situations, there are times when we discover much more about the phrase than we realized that was in it at first thought. The phrase that I thought to myself, bear you one another's burdens, and I was applying that to the life situation of what happened when the 120 euros was stolen. And then I go to looking at the scriptures to find out where the phrase is found, and I find in this scripture there's a lot more to the bear you one another's burdens than just what I was applying it to. So let's look at it a little bit here. First of all, it starts out with the word brethren. Now, just because we are in the church and are children of the kingdom of God doesn't mean that we can't be overtaken in a trespass, in a fault. So here we are, brethren, and I think that includes the ladies as well when it talks about brethren. Even though you don't have the male gender, we are all brethren in that sense of the word. So it says, if anyone is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So the idea here is when you find each other, and you will find, if you dwell together long enough in a church, you will find that we find ourselves overtaken in faults sometimes. Anybody has ever never found themselves overtaken in a fault? Raise your hands. I don't see anybody who has never been overtaken in a fault. So that means that we all are in this situation. But then it says, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. So rather than going around and talking to other people about this person that's overtaken in a fault, did you hear about this person? Did you hear about what happened? Did you hear what they did? Can you believe that they actually did that? We need to pray for this person. And very conveniently, we're sharing a lot of details. And instead of actually caring about the person, it says, if you're truly spiritual, then you should go to that person, restore such a one. And what kind of a spirit do we need to take when we go? Spirit of gentleness. Now, if I have a splinter in my hand, which I do right now, I'm not just going to take that to a tree surgeon. No offense, Henry, but your chainsaw would not do a very good job on taking a splinter out of my hand. I need to go to somebody who has a gentle hand, who has the tools that's needed to actually take that splinter out in a gentle way. Now, sometimes it might hurt, but if it's done properly, then both the person who was the brother who restored the one and the person who's restored walk away happy, walk away restored, walk away with a satisfaction that we now have restoration happened. And that's what is supposed to happen with brethren in a church. You who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. If you do go around and talk to other people about this person, you just automatically, or if you say, well, I'm not going to go. I just am not going to go. I don't, he's overtaken in this fault, but I'm not qualified. Then you're automatically saying, maybe you're not spiritual. Really, do we want to be led by the Spirit of God? I think we have to recognize that, yes, we do have a responsibility. We need to be led by the Spirit of God, and we need to recognize that, no, I don't have it in myself, but with that gentle spirit, I can go, and I can restore people in a spirit of gentleness. And then, consider yourself. Consider yourself. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, but think soberly. And think about the fact that you can also get involved in the same problem. So, lest you also be tempted, think carefully and consider yourself, lest you also be tempted. And then we come to verse 2, where it does say, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. When I walked into here this morning, we were talking, Johnny was speaking to us about the law of Christ, the law of love. The law of Christ is actually found in John 15:12, and it simply says, John chapter 15, it's referred to in more places than one, but it says it like this: this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. And that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. So the law of Christ is the law of love. And we are actually commanded to love each other. And I would like to jump down to verse 5. For each one shall bear his own, and as the King James Version says, burden. Now, why does it say, bear one another's burdens, and then it turns around and says, bear your own burden? Is that an incongruity? Is that not making sense? Is that opposed to each other? Are those two statements opposed to each other? Well, when you dig into it a little bit deeper, you discover that each one shall bear his own burden, for bear his own load. It's two different words for the word burden. The word burden in the first case is a heavy weight. It's something that we need help for. And the word burden, or the word load, in the last case is literally a responsibility that we have. It's used of when you take a ship and you load the ship with a load, then the ship is designed to carry that load. And it's something that you, God has designed you to carry a responsibility. Well, what then is my responsibility? What is the Christian's main responsibility? One of our, well, maybe I should say main responsibility, yes. Okay.
Display God's love.
Exactly. The law, it says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Fulfilling the law of Christ is literally taking that responsibility, that load that we're given. We are all given the responsibility. We're all given the load to carry, to actually carry the love of Jesus into wherever we go. So when we're to bear our own load, bear our own burden, our own load is to fulfill the law of Christ. So those two statements, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, go hand in hand. Each one shall bear his own responsibility, his own burden, and then we are actually carrying out what Paul meant to the, and what the Spirit of God who caused Paul, who led Paul to write this to the Galatians, and we're actually ending up with a well-rounded instruction to what Christians should actually do. Now, I had a few little stories I was going to intersperse into this message. One of them I'd like to read. One day, two men were walking through the countryside. As they walked, they spied an old woman sitting by a river. She was upset because she could not get across on her own. The first man kindly offered to help carry her across, for them to offer to carry her across. She gratefully accepted their help. So the two men joined hands, lifted her between them, carried her across the river. When they got to the other side, they set her down, and she went on her way. After they had walked for a while, the second man began to complain. "Look at my clothes," he said. "They are filthy from carrying that woman across the river, and my back still hurts from lifting her." First man just smiled, nodded his head. A few more miles up the road, second man griped again. "My back is hurting me so badly I cannot go any further because of the pain." And he lay down on the ground and was trying to deal with the pain. First man looked down at his partner, now lying on the ground, moaning. "Have you wondered why I am not complaining?" he asked. "Your back hurts because you are still carrying the woman. But I set her down 5 miles ago." You know, when we bear each other's burdens, after we're finished, let's lay the burden down. Let's remember that it's finished now. We're not still carrying that burden. We can help each other out, and then we can move ahead. And the truth is, when we are in a church community where we help each other out, there are times when we can help a person out. But then let's leave it there. Let's not keep carrying that burden, because we're not meant to carry the burden of every person all the time. We're meant to help each other out and then move ahead and be thankful that we actually had that opportunity, like the first man was, rather than complain about, this was hard work. This took a lot of emotional energy for me to, and you keep thinking back about how hard it was, and after a while you develop a poor me kind of attitude, and you just think that the Christian life is so hard, and we forget that Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." And it's not you that is doing all the burden carrying when you help each other out. When Jesus is there, the Holy Spirit is there to guide you and help you, then the burden is light. It's actually being shared by the Lord Jesus himself. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Let's not forget that. It was a bitter freezing day. They were traveling in a sledge, wrapped in furs from head to foot. But notwithstanding this, they were almost frozen in the fearful cold. By the wayside, they discovered a poor traveler, benumbed and perishing in the snow. "Let us stop and help," said one of the brothers. "We may save his life." "Yes, and lose your own," replied the other. "Are we not ourselves freezing in the cold? No one would think of stopping on a day like this. I would not throw off my cloak of fur to save 100 travelers." "I am freezing as well as you are," said his brother, "but I cannot see this stranger die. I must go and help him." He was as good as his word. He went to his relief. He chafed his temples, gave him wine from his bottle to drink, and the effort that he made brought warmth to his own limbs. And he took the traveler on his back and bore him to the sledge to carry him on. "Brother, look! I have saved this stranger's life and also my own, I think. I am warmer from the effort I made," he said. But his brother did not answer. He was sitting upright in his furs on the sledge, cold and dead. Sad story. I'm assuming it could well be true. When you are willing to go out and help other people, there's something that happens. You are helped yourself, if it's helped in the right way. Bear ye one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. The next one might be a bit humorous. Three turtles went on a Sunday afternoon picnic. One carried a basket of food. One carried a jug of turtle-ade, whatever that looks like. The third turtle didn't carry anything. They got everything set up, and then they felt raindrops. The two turtles agreed that the one who carried nothing should go back and get the umbrella. The third turtle said, "No, because you'll eat all the turtle food and drink all the turtle-ade, and I won't have any." Finally, he agreed to go back for the umbrella. 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours went by, and then one day, 1 week, 3 weeks went by. One of the turtles said, "Well, I guess we can eat the turtle food and drink the turtle-ade, because he's not coming back." Then they heard something over in the bushes say, "If you do, I won't go." Most of us are like the third turtle. We are afraid that if we jump out there and do something, we might miss the picnic. The truth is, we'll miss the big picnic by not trusting God and doing our part. So, sometimes bearing each other's burdens, we're too fearful. We're too scared. We're going to miss out if we do. But remember, God provides. There's so many scriptures. There's so many places that we could talk about what it means to bear each other's burdens. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. We are responsible to God, first of all. We are responsible to bear our own load. And remember, our own load is to fulfill the law of Christ. I have one more, and it could be, let me just tell you what happened yesterday. I was going to have the whole day, and I was going to do some book work, and I was going to study the sermon, I was going to put things together, and then halfway through the day, this WhatsApp text came through, and it said, "Anyone who wants to go canoeing can meet at the shop, and we're going to go on a canoe trip this afternoon." Well, about 4 weeks ago, I was able to go on a canoe trip with the fellows out there, and we went on a two-day canoe trip, and we slept out beside the river two nights. It was a very, very enjoyable time. But I felt bad because Karen had not gotten to go along, my wife, on that canoe trip, and I knew that she loves canoeing. And when we heard about this canoe trip that's happening yesterday, short notice, we said to each other, I think we can do it. And in a sense, this was helping to bear her burden. And I rejoiced that I could do that. Honestly, I didn't really have time. But we, in the fastest canoe trip I've ever taken, because the Shur River from Clonmel all the way to Carrick-on-Shur should take at least 4 to 6 hours. We did it in a little bit less than 2 hours. The river was fast. The canoe trip was great. The sermon might be a bit short today because of that. But let me read you one more. A man was lost and wandering in the desert, dying of thirst. As he wandered in that desert, he stumbled upon a ramshackle, dilapidated shack. He stumbled into that shack and was enjoying the shade for a moment. He was looking around when he noticed about 15 feet away from him a rickety, rusty, old pump. He staggered over to the pump and grabbed a hold of the handle. He began to work the pump up and down. Remember, he was thirsty. He was very thirsty. Nothing came out. Then he noticed an old jug. He took the jug, and it felt like there was something in it. He began to wipe off what appeared to be a label or a note. He brushed away the dirt and began to make out what it said. It said, "You have to prime the pump with all the water in the jug. P.S. Be sure to fill the jug again before you leave." Suddenly, this man was faced with this life or death decision. At least, if he drank the water in the jug, he could live a little while longer. But if indeed it was true, he would have access to flowing, fresh, cool water as much as he could possibly want. He had to make a decision. Is he going to believe the note? Is he going to believe that if he acts in this way, he will have all the cool, fresh water that he wants and needs? He pondered that decision for a few moments. Could he really trust that set of instructions? Can we really trust the set of instructions that we have in here? He decided to go for it. He popped the cork. Sure enough, it was almost full of water. He looked over to the pump. He poured it all into the pump, grabbed hold of the handle. He began to work that pump again. Suddenly, there appeared a trickle of water. It grew into a larger stream of water. Suddenly, it was gushing all the cool, flowing, wonderful water he could possibly want. He filled the jug and drank it. He filled it, drank it again. He was marvelously refreshed. Then he remembered the note. He filled the jug again, put the cork in place, and added his own little note to it. Believe me, it really works. You have to give it all away in order to get it all back. And I will add my little note to this: bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. It really works. It never hurts a man to be generous. In fact, when you live in a generous way, God has a way to take care of your needs with all the needs that you have being met. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. How big are his riches? Brethren, if man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And then, remember, each one shall bear his own burden, And our own burden, our own responsibility is that exact thing, fulfilling the law of Christ. Let's